We all know Lazarus. Lazarus is a guy whose clothes smell, camped outside your office building perhaps, cardboard sign and tin can at his feet, pleading at us on our way to work. Lazarus is a young mother carrying her toddler on her hip, walking up and down the subway car, a haunted look in her eyes, on her face, if she asks if anyone can please spare a dollar. Lazarus is a transgender kid who no longer has a home because if they cannot fit into a gender box, then their parents say there's no place for them in their home or family. So they walk the streets, doing what they must do in order to have something to eat or a place to sleep, and trying each day to choose life instead of death. But on some days, for Lazarus, it is a real struggle. We all know Lazarus. Perhaps in your mind right now, you are pulling out the Lazarus you have noticed most recently. Maybe you'll even see him tomorrow. We all know Lazarus. But do we really? The truth is, especially if you go to New York City on a regular basis, you probably have some pretty good skills at not seeing Lazarus. Sure, you're aware of him in your peripheral vision, but you know that if your eyes meet his eyes, then something might happen. You'll be forced to engage. And if you engage so far as to offer a dollar, Lazarus might find you every day. And there goes your coffee money. Or maybe a whole army of Lazarus will start to swarm you like ducks in a pond that realize you're dropping bread. Giving to Lazarus may seem uncomfortable, inconvenient, risky, or downright scary. And so you have perfected that blank stare, seeing but not really seeing, so that you can efficiently get to your own destination and meet your own goals. I know this to be true because I have done it myself. And to be honest, that's not a bad strategy. After all, who knows what will happen to your good money once Lazarus gets his hands on it? How can you know if Lazarus really wants to buy food or is just looking for a hit to get high? You wouldn't want to waste your good money to feed somebody else's addiction. And so, on one day, you avert your eyes and focus on something else. But after enough days of doing that, you just become blind to the point that you can no longer even see Lazarus. Now, we don't have to go to New York City to see Lazarus. Lazarus even lives in our own community. And when I studied abroad in Beijing during college, I was surprised and impressed upon my arrival that there were no homeless people. There were no street people begging, as I had seen in every other major city I visited around the world. Maybe there's something to this government. Maybe they really do take care of their citizens, I thought to myself. Now, it just so happened that a major United Nations conference was being held in Beijing that fall, and it was several weeks long. And the week after the conference, all of a sudden, there were beggars on all the major street corners. I'm not sure what the Chinese government did to these poor folks to erase them from the global eye, but they are not alone in this approach. I lived in Atlanta during the 1996 Olympics, and in the year preceding the Summer Olympics, the city tore down the major housing project that was in the center of town. And in its place, you know what they built? An enormous jail. They passed city ordinances that made it illegal to lie down on park benches, and other behaviors that homeless people do became illegal. The result is that the jail is filled with the homeless poor so that Atlanta's streets were clean and its international visitors could be blind to the poverty that exists in the city. That is what happened to the rich man, I suspect. He became blind to Lazarus, even as his own senses were being heightened by the finer things in life that he enjoyed. The rich color of the purple cloth he wore, the light coolness of the linen fabric that allowed the breeze to creep across his skin and keep him cool, keep the sun off of his skin so that he did not sweat. I'm sure he felt his senses heightened as he feasted, the honey-dipped breads, the aromatic meats, the finest wines. The scripture describes what Lazarus' senses were doing too, his hunger, his sores. Can you feel the rumble in his stomach? The dry roof of his thirsty mouth, the swallow in his dry throat? Can you feel the burning of his sores, the flies that probably swarmed around him, the dogs licking his sores? Do you wonder, did those dogs make his sores cleaner, or did their licking make the infection even worse? I wonder. But maybe it hurt too much for Lazarus to wonder. I know many of you have told me that you just quit watching the news because seeing the suffering out there, the problems in the world, is just too much. It's just too hard. There have been times when I also have needed to take a break from the news too for my own sanity and self-care. It is human nature to only see or hear that which can satisfy us and serve our senses. But God sees differently. Who really sees Lazarus? Who really knows Lazarus? God knows Lazarus. Jesus knows Lazarus. And Jesus wants us to know Lazarus too. Jesus wants us to train our senses so that we can see Lazarus, so that we can hear and listen to Lazarus and find that our own well-being is tied up in the well-being of Lazarus. The point of seeing and hearing is not to feel so guilty that we just shut down, but the point is to be able to see that our lives are connected. If we look back at our message this morning from the prophet Amos, we see something any of us would enjoy. It is a feast of the senses. Relaxing bed, wonderful music, good wine, relaxing oils. None of these things are intrinsically bad. In fact, when I'm in times of high stress, I purposefully try to do some of these things as acts of self-care. I try to sleep well. I try to eat well. Sometimes I might even look to get a massage. I don't think Amos is saying that these actions on their own are bad. It would be one thing to lounge around on our luxurious couches and enjoy roasted meats made especially for us, drink wines from bowls, and hum along to harps played around us while getting massaged with the finest, most fragrant oils. But to do that and not grieve the ruin of Joseph, as Amos says, well, that behavior only foreshadows the destruction of a nation. In other words, to enjoy leisure and wealth without awareness of and concern for the suffering of others is what troubles God and what causes trouble for our communities. Here are some things we should be aware of. Even though unemployment is very low right now, the gap between rich and poor in America is wider than it has ever been in 50 years since the U.S. Census started tracking income. And this gap actually costs lives. According to the New York Times, almost 3/4 of rich Americans who were in their 50s and 60s in 1992 were still alive in 2014. But just over half of poor Americans in their 50s and 60s in 1992 made it to live to 2014. With the federal minimum wage stagnant at $7.25 an hour for the last 10 years, that means that even though unemployment is low, people working at jobs, at many jobs, cannot sustain a life or a family. Think about the value in rent or in purchase value of the home where you live. Has that value stayed the same over 10 years? I imagine not. And I tell you, when there have been times when I have inquired about low-income, affordable housing for people in this community, whether for women who are ready to leave the Olaf House shelter that helps women surviving domestic violence, or if I'm helping aging seniors in our community look for a long-term place where they can live off of their simple income, I've learned that the waiting list for Section 8 housing is 2 years long. Jesus not only sees Lazarus, Jesus also knows Lazarus's name. And it's a stunning reversal. We expect the rich man to be known, to have made a name for himself, and for the beggar covered in sores to be the nameless one. But Jesus, who very rarely names the characters in his parables, he goes out of the way to name Lazarus. While the rich man not only remains unnamed, but also unknown at heaven's entry. And when the rich man finally does recognize Lazarus, he's still only seeing Lazarus in a way that is meant to serve him. He sees Lazarus as a tool for his survival. He demands Father Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in water to cool his tongue, for it is an agony due to the flames. Now the senses are reversed. The rich man, whose tongue once enjoyed luxurious feasting, is now on fire. When the rich man hears from Abraham that it is too late for him, he then begs Abraham to send Lazarus to go and warn his other family members. But isn't that what Lazarus was already doing just by lying at the gate? If that did not awaken mercy and compassion in the rich man or his family and cause them to listen to see, and if the prophets before Lazarus, like Amos, failed to cause the rich man and his family to listen and see, then what will? I'm not sure what is worse, the sin of not knowing or the sin of not caring. Here in church, we try to awaken our senses, open our eyes and our ears to see and hear the world as God senses it, but to also awaken the hearts to care for the world as God cares for and loves it. And once we see, once we hear, and once we care, we cannot help but to respond. We could talk about seeing Lazarus and even passing some dollars or a meal his way, but what would it mean to actually take down the wall that secludes the rich man on one side where he enjoys his wealth, and Lazarus on the other side where he is left with the dogs to lick his sores? What would it mean to upset the system that rewards the rich for being rich and punishes the poor? Until we recognize that Lazarus is not just some guy suffering on the other side of the gate, but that Lazarus represents part of our shared humanity, part of us and part of God, we will not be using our senses the way that Jesus is trying to challenge and train us to do. Sadly, it was too late for the rich man, but Jesus shares his story because it's not too late for us. Listen, all you who have ears. We want to be seen by Jesus. We want to be welcomed by God. But how we are seen, how we are welcomed by God, may have a relation to how we see and how we welcome Lazarus. This is a difficult truth of our faith. We pray, may the Spirit lend us help in our understanding and in our response. Amen.